Well, good morning, Christ Church. You know, this morning when I was in the office, and I think it was Tony who said, are you ready to preach today? And I said, absolutely. He said, do you remember how? I'm going to have to talk to him, I tell you. We're closed tomorrow, but on Tuesday morning, I want him in my office. There we go. Anyway, it's great to be with you back again, back in the saddle here at Christ Church. You know, we are continuing in the series, Myths That Mess You Up. Here it is. It's on your outline here. You'll want to pull it out of your worship program. You'll find a pen or pencil on the seat back in front of you. You know, over the past few weeks, we pastors have been identifying and combating some of the myths that mess you up when you buy into them, when you begin to believe in them. And as you believe in them, they really do play havoc with your life. You know, some of these myths include the myth that I'll never change. You know, when you buy into that kind of myth, it locks you into all of your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups that have always made you miserable. You know, to buy into that flies right into the face of the life-changing, life-transforming power of God through the power of His Holy Spirit. You know, it makes you miserable when you believe in that kind of thing, when you buy into that myth. Another one of the myths we talked about a few weeks ago was good Christians never get discouraged. Good Christians never get discouraged. Now, let me tell you, if you buy into that, you're really going to be messed up. Because even a cursory reading of God's Word shows that discouragement is universal, it's recurring, it's contagious, but the good news is it is curable. But it sure is a crock of baloney to think that good Christians never get discouraged. Well, today what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin debunking another very popular myth among some Christians. And if you buy into it, you know, it'll make you miserable. It'll mess you up. And that's the myth my life really doesn't matter, or I can't make a difference with my life, you know, or my life doesn't make any difference in the world. You know, now, you know, if you think about that, that is an incredibly defeatist attitude, to think that your life doesn't matter, that you can't make any difference with your life. You know, if you buy into that, no wonder you become miserable. You know, in fact, to buy into that myth means that you have resigned yourself to live at the level of mediocrity. You've resigned yourself to a mediocre life. And I've got to tell you, that's not what the Scripture teaches us at all. That we were followers of Christ, we're never designed by God to live a mediocre life. Now, you know, other than the Bible, two of the several books that have had a significant impact on my life are these books right here. One by Chuck Swindoll, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. And the other is by Bruce Wilkinson called The Prayer of Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez. These two books have really helped me in the way that I think and the way that I live out my life. They've had significant impact on my life. And both of these books share a common theme, and that is that you are not meant to live a mediocre, boring, average life. That is not who God called you to be. That's not how God has ever called any of His followers to live. You know, the fact is that God created you as a masterpiece. You are one of a kind. You are unique. He's given every one of us in this room gifts and skills, not only to build His church, but to build His kingdom. I mean, this is who God is, what God has done for you. You know, you're not simply one in a million. You're actually closer to being one in 7.53 billion, which is the latest population of the world. You are that unique There's nobody else quite like you. You know, now, when we're reading the scripture and we get to the book of 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, in chapter 4, we come across the name of a man, and his name is Jabez. Can you say that? Jabez. Ready? Jabez. Yeah. J-E-B-E-Z. Jabez. We come across this guy's name, and it's Jabez. Now, the interesting thing about 1 Chronicles is when you get there, and you're expecting some really edifying reading, you know, and you get into 1 Chronicles chapter 1, and it's nothing but names. It's nothing but genealogy. And in chapter 1 is genealogy, just names. Chapter 2, genealogy, just names. Chapter 3, genealogy, just names. Chapter 4, genealogy, just names. 9 chapters, 405 verses of nothing but names, 600 names right here. And reality is, you don't stand much of a chance pronouncing them. But then right smack dab in the middle, right smack dab in the middle of these 600 names, in the middle of these 405 verses, in the middle of these 9 chapters, we find that God singles out one person for an honorable mention, and that guy's name is Jabez. One person for a special recognition. Now, you get this. Listen to this. Out of the entire scripture, there are only 2 verses about this guy named Jabez. That's it. 2 verses in the entire Bible about this guy named Jabez, and yet God gives him an honorable mention among all the other 600 names. Now, I guess the question would be, what in the world did he do to get an honorable mention from God? What did he do to live above average, his life above average, in some way that God would give him a special recognition? What did he do so that his name would be preserved for more than 4,000 years? With only 2 verses in the entire Bible, and they're all right there in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In fact, it's really interesting. You know, when I said there's 600 names in 1 Chronicles, let me give you a little sample of what I'm talking about. Here's 1 Chronicles chapter 2, just a couple of verses there. Listen to this. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, the leader of the people of Judah. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. And Obed, the father of Jesse. There are 9 chapters of that. 9 chapters of that. But then we get to the verses that mention Jabez. Check this out. 1 Chronicles 4, right down, right in the middle, chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. Listen to this. This is what the scripture says. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, that's it. That's everything we know about Jabez right here. But it's strange because right in the middle of all of these names, as the matter of fact, if you read the out of the King James Version, and if you're old as I am, you'll remember that some preachers called it the begots. You know, somebody begot somebody, somebody else begot this person, that person begot the next person, this whole list of begots. Right in the midst of the begots, here we've got Jabez saying again, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, here's the thing. within these two verses, what we can glean from them is really three kind of secrets, three principles that makes Jabez stand out from everybody else among the 600 names. We get three principles that make his name get honorable mention, special recognition from God, three principles that will help you and me live above the level of mediocrity. Here's the first principle that I want us to talk about today. First of all, when we look at this prayer of Jabez right here, it reminds us that you need a great ambition. That is, if you want to live above the level of mediocrity, if you want something different than an average life, first of all, you need a great ambition, a great ambition. While all the other people around Jabez, those 600, appear to be content with a mediocre average life, here's what Jabez says. Just check it out right here. Matter of fact, let's read it together. It says this: "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." That's the first thing he said. A big ambition right there, that God, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. In other words, God, I want you to bless me. I want to do something significant for you. That's what he was saying here. I want you to bless me and enlarge my territory in order for me to do something great for you. That is, I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be common. I want to expand. I want to grow. You see, Jabez had a great ambition, and most deeply of all, Jabez wanted God's blessing on his life. That's a key thing. He not only did, you know, I guess I would say it this way. You know, if I were to ask you, do you want God's blessing on your life? Everybody's hand's going to go up. But for Jabez was praying for it. I think there's something different about that. I mean, that now takes it to a new level. Everybody wants God's blessing in their life, but do you pray for that? Do you pray that God would bless you so that you can do great things for him? That you can live above the level of mediocrity? That your life would matter, that your life would be significant, that your life would make a difference. You know, I've said it many times, many people just simply drift through life. They have no goals, they have no dreams, they have no purpose, they have no ambition. And needless to say, they accomplish very little. A life without goals, they simply exist. A life without challenges and goals can be summed up, I think, in one word: boring. It's just boring to live a life without any goals and dreams and ambitions and desires. Now, having said that, there are three common misconceptions that keep people like you and me from having great ambitions. And here's the first one I want you to write down. You see, we confuse humility with, put it up, fear. We confuse humility with fear. This is a big deal. It doesn't sound like much or it doesn't even look like much when it's up here on the TV, but this is a big deal. We confuse humility with fear. What am I talking about here? You know, we say, you know, oh, I could never do that, you know, and kind of think we're being humble. We're being humble when we say it. But the fact of the matter is, that is not real humility. It isn't. It's fear. It's lack of faith. You know, a truly humble person says something like this: you know, with God's help, I can do it. With God's blessing, I will do it. I may not be able to do it on my own, but with God's blessing, I can get this thing done. Now, that's humility. False humility is, oh, I can just never do that. Well, that's often fear and lack of faith. But to say, you know, with God's help, I can. With God's blessing, I will. Now, that is true humility. What keeps you from having a great ambition is that you often confuse humility with fear and with lack of faith. That's what I'm talking about. Here's the second thing, is that we confuse contentment with laziness. We confuse contentment with laziness. I'm going to say it again. We confuse contentment with laziness. Now, it is absolutely, positively, 100% true that St. Paul, what did he say? He said this in Philippians 4:11. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Yeah, that's what Paul said. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. But this doesn't mean that you shouldn't set goals. You know, I actually know, well, knew, I should say, I actually knew some Christians who truly believed that they would never set goals or plan because they felt like they would be interfering with the will of God. And I think that's baloney. To be interfering with the will of God and to use that as an excuse for not to plan or not to to have any ambition or not to have any goals, I really think that that is a cop-out. You know, Paul wasn't saying here, I don't think you shouldn't make goals. I don't have any future ambitions. I don't have any future desires. No. You know, Paul is saying something more like this: even though my goals or my dreams or my ambitions haven't been reached yet, I'm going to enjoy today to the fullest. That's the kind of thing that Paul was saying here. I'm happy to have my dreams and my, I'm happy even though my dreams and my goals or my ambitions have not yet quite been fulfilled. You see, if you were to use contentment as an excuse for your laziness, then you think about it. Who would ever feed the poor? If contentment was confused with laziness, who would ever rise up against hunger and pack a million meals? If contentment gets confused with laziness, you know, who would reach out in compassion in the midst of natural disasters? If we confuse contentment with laziness, who then would staff the hypothermia shelter? If we confuse contentment with laziness, then who would ever stand against injustice? Who would offer the freeing and saving love of Jesus Christ to the world? Well, let me tell you, if you confuse contentment with laziness, then you are doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Too many Christians confuse contentment with laziness. Here's the next thing we got to be really careful about. We confuse small thinking with spirituality. We confuse small thinking with spirituality. You know, people have said to me from time to time, you know, Pastor, I serve God in my little way. Well, you know, my thinking is, well, why not serve him in a bigger way? Why not do something more significant? You know, don't tell me you serve God in your little way. Have some dream, have some goal, have some ambition. Others say, well, that's just who I am. You know, that's the way God made me. Oh, give me a break. Don't blame God for that. You know, don't give God that kind of cop out. Don't blame God for your small thinking. You know, and think at the same time, oh, I'm being spiritual about it. You know, no, that is not what God has called us to be about. It flies in the face of the life-changing, life-transforming power of God when we begin to think like that. Don't confuse small thinking with spirit being spiritual. Being spiritual. Here's the second principle that we need we have to have that great ambition, you know. If we're going to live above the level of mediocrity, we have to have a great ambition. Also, you need to have a growing faith. You need to have a growing faith. I want you to write that in. We've got to grow in our faith. Not only did Jabez have a great ambition, but he had a faith that was growing. He had a deep trust and a deep belief in God. We see that in his prayer. He had enough faith to pray and expect an answer. Do you pray and expect an answer? Do you expect God to get involved? Do you expect God to actually answer your prayers? You know, the great British missionary from long ago, William Carey, he said this. This is his quote: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Yeah, we can learn a lot from that right there, from William Carey. Here's some of the interesting facts about Jabez you probably don't know. First of all, there is no mention in the scripture at all that Jabez had any kind of special ability or any kind of special gift. Jabez was just Jabez. No special gifts, no special abilities, at least we don't see that in the scripture in any way, that he was simply a common man with an uncommon faith. You know, and I'll tell you, I've said this before and I'll tell you again, God loves to use ordinary people who trust him. Just ordinary folks who are willing to trust him to do something great. That's who God loves to use. Jabez's faith caused him to believe that God would help him with his goals and his dreams. Here's a second interesting fact. You know, Jabez may have had, now listen, he may have had some sort of disability. Jabez may have had some sort of disability. In fact, in Hebrew, the name Jabez means painful. That's what his name means. His name means painful. How would you like to be named painful? You know? I mean, oh, here comes old painful, you know. Here comes painful over there. You know, I wonder if Jabez in his birth caused his mom so much pain that that's what she named him. She named him painful. Maybe even, it's kind of sad to think about, but maybe he was even unwanted as a child. Maybe he was unloved as a child. We don't know. But what we do know is that whatever his difficulty was, his faith was stronger than his disability. Jabez's faith was stronger than his disability. You know, one of the ministries that I'm most proud of here at this church has to do with our possibilities ministry, a ministry that reaches out into to those who are often pushed aside, set aside, even ignored, and to be able to speak into that and to show an incredible love, an incredible grace, to be able to gather a group of 20 or so folks together and share the love of God and study through the scriptures. I mean, that's tremendous. You know, one of my great ambitions is that we will be a church that is known as the church with this special needs ministry in Southern Fairfax County, with the best, most spectacular special needs ministry in all of Southern Fairfax County. That's a great ambition of mine. And you know what? I pray for that. Because there are so many people around us that, particularly parents, I think, of those who have a disability, who feel like somehow that maybe God had punished them. That God was not happy with them, or that they are so tired by being on 24/7 every single day of the year, 365 days, in order to manage their child or even adult child, that just an hour or so right here gives them rest. And you know, I sure hope that Christ Church continues to grow that possibilities ministry. It's part of my regular prayer. Here's number three, and then we'll call it a day. Number three, Not only do you need a great ambition if you're going to live above the level of mediocrity, you need a growing faith to live above that level of mediocrity. But here's the third thing, is that you need to be, put it up, faithful in prayer. You need to be faithful in prayer. You need to be faithful in prayer. It was Jabez's single prayer request that got him an honorable mention in the Bible. Isn't that something? It was Jabez's single prayer request that got him this honorable mention. And we're still talking about this guy 4,000 years later. You know, I will say, maybe you have hesitated to ask God for something in prayer. Maybe you have felt, that you thought it was a selfish prayer. Well, I guess that could be, but I want to ask you the question. What is the motive behind your prayer? I mean, if you want to live above the level of mediocrity, you need to be faithful in prayer. So what is the motive behind your prayer? You know, are you praying for selfish things? Are you praying that through you, that God would bless you so through you, you can accomplish great things for the Lord in the world in which we live? What's the motive behind your prayer? You know, look what Jabez prayed for. This changed everything for Jabez. He prayed for God's power in his life. That's what he prayed for. He prayed for God's power. In fact, here's the scripture. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. There we go. He knew that he couldn't do anything of significance for the kingdom without getting God's blessing. Do you know that? You're not going to do anything significant for the kingdom of God unless you get God's blessing on your life. Now, I will say that at first glance, when you look at the scripture there, at first glance, it does look like a selfish prayer. But yet, God honored that prayer. Why? One reason. As I said before, motive. It's about the motive. A motive. Jabez wanted to do something significant for God. Again, I ask you the question, how about you? Do you want to do something that's significant? All right, because God does not bless selfishness. Hear me? God does not bless selfishness. He never has. He never will. Here's the second. He prayed for God's presence in his life. God's presence in his life. Here's the scripture that says this. Let your hand be with me. Let's say that together. Let your hand be with me. Yeah. Let your hand be with me. You know, with an enlarged territory, I will tell you, it comes with greater responsibility. We need God's blessing. The greater your territory, the greater your responsibility, the more you need God's hand, his wisdom, his knowledge, his discernment in your life. You gotta have it if you want to be successful, if you want God's presence in your life. Let me tell you, you better have the blessing of God. And then what you need is God's protection over his life. That's what he prayed for. He prayed for God's protection over his life. Here was the scripture that says this, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. Folks, hear me. This, what was true then, is still true today. The more successful you are, the more critics that you're going to have. And the more critics that you're going to have, the more enemies you're going to have. And then the more enemies that are going to attack you. It is just the way it works. And the closer you get to the Lord, the stronger your faith needs to be, because the more the devil is going to harass you. I can promise you that the closer you get to the Lord, the more the devil's going to whisper in your ear to try to steal your attention away, because he doesn't want you to grow in faith. But you can be sure, as God is sure, as Jabez is sure, that the closer you grow to the Lord, the more you will be blessed. Here's the deal. I'm going to end it with this. Do you want to live above the level of mediocrity? Do you want to accomplish something great for the Lord? Then you need a great ambition, you need a growing faith, and you need to be faithful in prayer. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Thank you so much, God, for all the ways you bless us. You pour out your gifts and graces upon us, and we are truly thankful. Lord, we want to do something significant for you. I think most of us in this room want to do something significant for the kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless the people in this room. Enlarge their territory, Lord, so that they may be a blessing to others and to you, that the kingdom would be blessed because of them. Place your hand upon them. Protect them, Lord, to keep them safe and free from harm. Watch over them, guide them, direct them, lead them. And Lord, carry us forward to live above the level of mediocrity. You have never called your people simply to be average. You've called us to do something for you. And whenever we do something for you, we are living above the level of mediocrity. So, Lord, empower us, strengthen us, and help us, Lord, to be the people who are reaching out in the name of Jesus Christ to the world around us for your honor and for your glory. Enlarge our territory, Lord. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.